You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Dungeons and Junkies, Episode 1, Meeting the Bard.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And this is a very special edition of Game Junkies. We have dubbed this tentatively Dungeon and Junkies. Alex has become incredibly obsessed with playing the idea of playing Dungeons and Dragons. I myself love the game as well, which is no hardship on my part. But it's not exactly an easy thing having this one person against the dungeon master, as it were. So, thankfully, Alex's sister Kerry is a very keen player. She's keen on starting playing anyway. So, lack of a better term, Alex roped her in. for people who don't know the game in question, Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game involving dice and ability scores. All information for which, if you want to go and play yourself, you can find at dndbeyond.com. Right, so we will away. If you have any questions, the audience are happy to hear them before we start.
No, not that I can think of.
Okay. Okay, so what I shall do is I shall introduce you each individually, and then you'll tell me your character name, who they are, and if you want to reveal any backstory at this point, you can. If you want to keep it to yourself, that is fine. Alex, do you want to take it away first?
Right, so my character is called Rain, with an E. He is a wood elf ranger. When he was younger, he was raised in a thief's guild, because he believes that his parents abandoned him as he's never seen them. He was always picked on, being the only non-human there. And his name was dubbed the Lonely Cursed Child.
Okay.
He was a member until age 11, but he then got caught stealing from a noble, which was the cause of him getting evicted from that guild, which angered him that much that out of his control and out of nowhere, he turned into a bear and slaughtered all of them. So fast forward 193 years, he's now 204, a very specific age. He now lives on the outskirts of a small village that he hunts for and drinks from their tavern, going about his days thinking about how he can find his parents to explain what's happened to him and work on how to remove his curse.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, that's Rain, the Wood Elf Ranger. Kerry, who is your character?
My character is Alele, the vertically challenged Dragonborn Paladin. She doesn't have much of an inferiority complex and a problem with her height. Much. But she became a paladin, well, because of said inferiority complex and a desperate desire to prove herself that she wasn't just some undersized lizard.
Fair enough. Okay, so if we are ready to away, then we if you're ready to away, then Alex and Kerry?
Yeah.
Okay, we will away. We will start, as all good games start, in a tavern, which is the best place to always start.
Nowhere else to start, really, is there?
There's no better place to start than a tavern. So, with that in mind, we open with what looks like your basic tavern. It's not too busy. It's the end of a working day in that village. And what you've got is the barman is polishing his tankard behind the bar. You've got Rain, who is presumably come into a tavern, I'm guessing at some point.
Yep, he basically lives every evening in that tavern.
Okay, the tavern in question is the Fang and Tusk. Now, the tavern in question is set in the Kingdom of Edenoi, which is ruled by Count Dragon. Now, Count Dragon is quite a devious man who rules with an iron fist. Now, he has a series of henchmen underneath him who make sure to do his bidding, and a series of kobolds which work as his, basically his militia. Now, we open, obviously, with Rain presumably at the bar, and I'm guessing that Alili is going to be popping in at some point, probably to try and spread the word of her order. So, are you at the bar as well at this point, Alili, or...?
I'm sat on a stool, unfortunately. There's about a foot and a half between my feet and the floor, so...
Okay, so you're at the bar, okay, and you're having drinks of your choice, of course. I'm guessing, like, is Rain, like, dodgily looking to see if he can nick from the bar, or is he just, is he trying to keep his eyes to himself, sort of thing?
Yep, just ignore everything around him.
Okay, he's just being ignorant at the moment, so no change.
Yes.
Okay. There is a sound outside of the tavern. The sound is one of almost screaming, but it's a very high-pitched screaming. Presumably at some point you're going to check this out.
I stand there and carry on drinking my beer, ignoring the screaming outside.
Okay, so Rain's ignoring the screaming.
I just sign off my stool and quickly run out the door.
Alili being the paladin that she is, she clearly wants to see what is going on, and Rain is clearly not bothered enough at this point for money reasons. So, Alili is confronted with the image of a man running down the main street of the village towards a tavern. He's got what looks like 3 kobolds chasing him. Now, the guards, the guards are hunting him, clearly, and they're not the smartest in kobolds, they're not really, but if they get their scent on you, they're on you. But these kobolds are chasing after this man, and the man runs straight towards you, Alili. He sees you and just runs towards you with a look of sheer horror and pleading on his face. And he says to you, "Please, I need help. Can you hide me? Please, can you help hide me? Please."
I unsheathe my small dagger and ask him what he's hiding from.
"I'm hiding from those kobolds. I need to get away from them quickly. Can you help me, please?"
I'll help you if you can tell me why they're chasing you.
Can we do this when we're not out here?
Fine, get in the tavern. I'll hide you somewhere.
The man is very grateful and he dashes inside the tavern. And are you following him into the tavern?
Yeah, I follow him into the tavern.
The tavern, okay, cool. The kobold at that point rushed past, having completely missed it. Okay, the hook is in. Right, okay. Okay, so the man literally collapses onto the floor, exhausted. He's on his hands and knees, breathing in and out. The barman says, "Huh," and came on polishing his glass, doing eye animation, basically. Now, at this point, the man looks up and looks at the wood elf at the bar and says, "Mister, can you help me?" Ignoring the fact that he's already asked the Italian paladin for help already.
I'm only a tiny bit insulted by that.
I reply with "What?"
Clean.
Quite rudely, I reply with "What?"
Oh, well, he says, Can you help me? I need to stay hidden from those kobolds. I've done what I probably shouldn't have done.
I mean, how much is in it for me?
My undying gratification?
Just go sit in that corner and I'll sit on the table in front of it. Hide you a bit.
He gets up and starts going forward, and he looks back towards the paladin and says, can you help me more? Or...
I say to Alili, that's your problem, I'm not really interested.
I sigh, because babysitting humans is not really my favourite pastime. It's my profession.
If you want, I can play you a song, he says. And at this point you see the harp on the side of his body. This man is clearly a bard. So, unlikely that what he's actually doing to get in this mess was actually anything nefarious.
While they're doing that, I get up and lean against the front door in case they try to walk in.
Okay, cool. I'm not making you walk, that's fine. The kobolds aren't having even considered the tavern, they are that stupid. So at this point you are not worried about that at all. So the barman offers you another drink, because, you know, at this point you're keeping the guy away from his bar while he's just really happy. But now the man says, are you a paladin then, are you? Are you a paladin?
No, I just like dressing as one, I reply. Yes, I'm really a paladin.
I'm sorry, I meant no offence. My name is Emil. I must admit, I stole something, and it was, I need your help to, well, not be found with it. It's something I took from Count Dragon.
I sigh and nod my head at him.
If at this point I'm wrong myself, I don't know. Okay. Right, okay, so I'm pretty sure that if I can stay away from this, then I'm sure that I can sell what it is I've stolen, and I'll split it with you 50-50. I'll take 50 and you two take 50 between the two of you.
So what? How do we know you're not going to walk away with all the money?
I'm a bard. I mean, I've no interest in, like, taking all the money. I'm very grateful that you not docked me out to the guards outside.
I mean, I feel you can be a bit more generous than that. How about you give us 5% up front?
That's a charisma persuasion check, at it. We'll call that a 10.
19 plus 2.
5% up front? I suppose I can do 5% up front. He hands you 10 gold pieces up front, which implies that this thing is worth 200 gold pieces. So that's not exactly something you sniffed at right now.
I say, all right, you've got yourself protection.
Thank you. Do you want to know what it is I've got in my possession, or do you not really care at this point?
No, I don't really care, to be honest.
I'm so keen on the money, and this is pretty much not so much for you, but what about the good noble paladin? Do you care, or...?
I would like to know, but I feel it's probably best that I don't at this point.
Fair enough. At this point, he notices you're not just a paladin, you are also a dragonborn paladin, which is something that we've out of character. We should have probably mentioned at the start of the episode, Alex.
Yes.
Of the dragonborn variety, which is obviously, it's fine, obviously. And Emil the Bard is like, to which order do you actually serve?
The Watchers.
At this point, he actually takes a bow on knee, which is which means that when he actually bows down, he's still taller than you are. Which is unfortunate at this point, but it shows that he's, you know, he's showing respect to your, to you and to your order, which is impressive. At this point, he's like, right, so what we need to do is, using the item I've got here, I feel that I can free my family from Count Dragon and possibly start a revolution against him. Can I count on you guys to help me?
I mean, I suppose it depends on how much exposure we get. Pissing him off isn't really what we want to do.
So you aren't keen on getting rid of a man who's stopping people from having more money than they deserve? I mean, I'm pretty sure that a warlock like yourself is just only a pittance doing the job that he does.
My job is to protect the people, so I suppose I have no real choice in this matter.
Yeah, if I can afford more drinks, then I guess I'll do it.
The hook is very truly in. Right, okay, so, what should we do? Should we stop here for go in the morning, go at night, or should we? What should we do?
I mean, do have a camp outside of the village, just in the first bit of the forest. If we head out there, we can spend the night there.
Okay. You best lead the way, I suppose. I'm not sure where your camp is. At this point, your father is just very grateful that you've actually not killed him at this point. Because he has seen at this point the cluster of weapons around your belt.
I give him my hooded trench coat to disguise him.
Nice, very nice indeed. Okay, I will just write that down. You've got your trench coat, because I'll forget that other one. Okay, cool. Okay, at this point he says, oh, thank you, and what do you want? What is your name?
No, I'll hold that to myself for a minute.
Okay, I'll call you Elf Man, I guess. And what is your name?
You may call me Alili.
Alili. Personally, my lady, I shall call you Alili. Lady Alili, I should call you. He's here showing a lot of respect towards her, and slightly blushing. It seems like he's almost embarrassed to be in her presence, almost. That's the sort of respect the Watchers Guild actually has over the Kingdom of Edenoid. So at this point, he walks to the door and waits for you.
We adventure outside. I look around to make sure that they aren't there, and then I lead us through the back streets and out to the forest.
Okay, so you head through the back streets. Through, yeah. This will be a stealth check. Obviously, because you are trying to stay under it, we do cool this. Do you have proficiency in stealth?
Let me just check. Yes.
Proficiency in stealth, okay, we'll then add your proficiency modifier to the check. I'm not going to do a roll number for this, just see what you roll. So roll a d20 and add your modifier.
I got 17, and that's plus 4.
I got 17 plus 3.
Okay. Rain leads beautifully, skipping from shadow to shadow as he leads the way forward. And Lily, when he turns around to see you, he can't see you. At this point, you have pretty much merged into the blackness. You cannot be seen at all. That's how well you've hidden yourself. And Emil struggles to keep up with you because of how well you are hiding yourself. So yeah, you get out of the town itself and into the forest.
We get there and I say to him, right, you can sleep under that tree, don't touch my food, don't touch my arrows.
Your arrows?
Arrows.
Why would I take your arrows?
You never know.
Fair enough. Okay. He sits down under a tree and he says, can I please have some food, sir?
I roll my eyes in, give him a small piece of rabbit.
A small piece of rabbit? Is it cooked or is it just being given raw off of the...
I left it on a slow fire before I left.
Okay. We'll be on that about it.
I also far a paladin friend of these.
Thank you.
Okay, that's very nice. That sounds quite nice of you. Okay, so are you just going to like wait around the campfire, maybe keeping warm and trying to keep quiet until nightfall or till morning?
Well, we sit around the campfire and I say to the bard, so do you have an idea of what the plan is, or is that down to us?
Well, I'm not so much with fighting, I'm more with the playing of music and just trying to keep people happy, and I'm just trying to save my family.
And so, did you have a plan at all, or did you just steal from him and hope for the best? Because, I mean, that wasn't the most intelligent thing to do, let's be honest.
Well, I'll be honest, it wasn't at the forefront of my thinking.
Clearly.
But it was more a case of, I need to get out of here, I need something to work with. And, well, this is what it is. And he pulls out what it is. Forgetting the fact that you did not want to know what he had. It's a very dark, black ceremonial mask. And he's like, this is from his private collection. It's worth a ton of money. I think it's worth 200 gold pieces. I'm pretty sure that if you can barter, you'll probably get some more for it if you want to sell it on. But this is the leverage, hopefully, to get my family back. But kobolds just want it back and will kill me for it. So if we can get close enough, I might be able to use it to barter my way back in to get the family out. But I don't know if I can.
So, you're the clever one, Paladin. What would you suggest?
I would have suggested not stealing the mask in the first place. But I suppose that doesn't really help the problem, does it?
I'm afraid not. I'm sorry, my lady.
Well, I think it'd be suicide going back, but I don't suppose there's much choice in the matter.
Alright, we'll leave at first light then.
Okay. He looks around and realizes he hasn't got a bedroll like you two both have on you. And he's like, I'm just going to sleep here then. And he starts to lay down, knowing better than to cross the clear thief and the clear paladin with the vast array of weapons. And he's like, I'll see you at first light. And he just rolls over, curling the cloak that you gave him.
I climb into a tree and keep watch, just in case.
Okay. Okay, are you staying vigil for the whole night, or...?
Yes, I'm guessing it's quite late in the evening.
It is at this point, it's back to the night now, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine with me, then I'll spend the night on watch.
Okay, are you doing the same thing, or...?
I unrolled my bedroll, but... and sleep for a short while, but I find I can't stay asleep for too long.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you're on water then. The kobolds that you saw earlier do skirt close to camp, but don't approach. So they like sort of a sniffy edge, but they don't bother coming close. They're like, well, sort of like they can smell the rabbit you were cooking earlier, sort of thing, but they're not really that bothered about that. They're looking for a rabbit, they're looking for a mask. So they wander off again. So you're not going to stop for the night. So morning breaks. And the bard is still sleeping somewhat soundly underneath your cloak still.
I give him a poke with my foot to try and wake him up.
And I take my coat back.
He wakes with a start with a kick, and then a yelp as the cloak is ripped away from him. At which point he says, oh, good morning to you too! I'm like, did you sleep well?
Not really.
Not overly.
I'm sorry if my presence is the reason you didn't sleep well. I'm so, so sorry. Shall we head off towards the Citadel? The Citadel, by the way, is about a day's hike. So.
I roll up my bedroll and then I'm ready to go.
If we go by the skirt of the forest to keep off the road slightly, I reckon that would be safer than taking the main road. Then we're not straying too far off of it either.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to get from the town before you leave?
No.
I think I've got everything.
Okay, cool. Okay, so they the bard is more than happy for you to leave the town behind, knowing the kobolds are in that town looking for him and not on the road that you're heading on to. So, the bard stands between the two of you, because he feels safer that way with a lot of metal around him, then says, right, then off we go then. Let's have a look. Are you going to encounter any problems on your first hour? Not particularly, although he does start to jabber incessantly about the forest itself, because he does sing a lot of songs about the forest. And in fact, he starts to play a song, it's a generic tune, I'm not going to bore people with what it is, I'll put it kindly, in fairness, what it is. But he's just playing it on his harp, and it's a pleasant enough tune the first 15-20 minutes. Once you get to hour two, though, you're starting to think, like, starting to grate on me a little bit.
I'm starting to wonder if there's maybe some moss I can shove into my ears or something so I don't have to hear it anymore.
Right, you can take a break from that. If you carry on playing it, I'm going to snap it in half.
Kerry, you can have inspiration for that. On your form, there's a box marked inspiration. Tick yours, because that was brilliant. Inspiration is when inspiration comes up, if there's a role you really want to succeed at, you take 2d20 and roll it twice, and you take the high result.
Okay.
So, if you've got it ticked, you can use it once, which is good. So, okay. When you need to, you don't need to, it's fine. Okay? So, he's, you said that out loud, I'm guessing, to him, in front of him, yeah?
Yes.
So, he's looking, mildly offended at Alili for wanting to put moss in her ear, but he's looking horrified about what you said to him. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. I'm just trying to, like, jolly the mood up on our walk.
It's a nice enough tune, but it gets a bit aggravating, and we're trying to remain incognito. So please, just keep quiet.
If you like, we can turn it into a game. Who can stay quiet the longest?
I can't give you impression twice, but that's brilliant. Yeah, he starts twitching his eye a bit because he's like, he wants to carry on barding, but he senses it's not the right time, so his left eye starts to twitch a little bit and he keeps walking along, almost looking like a little told off child, which I'm pretty sure you guys know what it looks like. Mainly because of Judy Alex. So you'll see for the next hour. Oh yeah. Okay. So at this point, Alex, I need you to roll me a d10, please.
Okay. 2.
Right. Okay. Now the reason why is because I wanted someone else to decide what it was you were about to encounter. Okay. Now. This is, someone's going to have me for being a bit of a pussy DM for this one, but I apologise. At this point, you hear a rustling come from the tree near to you. Enough for me to bard stop dead in his tracks. And he looks to his side, and he's like, did that bush just move?
I draw my sword and take a offensive stance.
I take out my small dagger, and I...
At this point, you notice nothing in the bush moved. The bush itself moved. Which, you know, is enough to surprise anybody, an actual moving bush. But then the one next to it starts moving as well. So you have two bushes which are now living and breathing. And moving towards you very, very slowly. At this point, I need to ask you both to roll for initiative. So roll a d20 and add your initiative modifier.
All right, mine is a 7 plus 3 initiative, so I rolled a 10.
Mine's 17 plus 2, so I've got 19.
Okay, we're going first then. Okay, so you are facing up against literally what is called in it as an awakened shrub. So what are you going to do with this shrambling bush which is moving towards you, waving its branches at you?
Try very hard not to laugh in the beginning, because it's not often you see a moving bush.
Okay. So we are now in combat, of course.
Pass lightning
bridges
to see what happens.
That's your breath weapon. Right, okay. Wow, that's kicking things up quite nicely then. Remind me quickly about your breath weapon, Eleni. Your breath weapon is, there we go. It is point of origin. Okay, cool, lovely. Breath weapon, lightning. Okay. So if I'm remembering this correctly, and I know I am definitely not, because I am that sort of person right now. Okay, you are going to, first of all, you're going to try and beat the armor class of the waking shrub, which is a, you look at the roll of d20 and to beat a 9.
Oh boy. 7.
7, okay. Okay, do you have any modifiers?
Which?
That would be your initiative bonus. No? Okay, cool. Okay, so you miss. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so the shrub's gonna go next, and the shrub's gonna attack Rain. Okay, that's really bad. So what's your armor class, Rain?
16.
It misses. Okay, and the other shrub's gonna try and attack Levi. What's your armor class?
16.
It misses. Okay, Emil is going to hide. Okay, Rain, you're up. What are you going to do?
I'm going to jab my sword right through the middle of it.
Okay, that is a strength attack. So you are going to roll your d20 and try and beat the armor class 9.
I got a 9.
Okay, that's a hit. Okay, so you are rolling for damage. So you are rolling, we'll call it a D8. Roll a D8, and if you have proficiency in weapons, then add your proficiency modifier to the bonus for damage.
Proficiency in what?
Are you proficient in weapons, in like sharp weapons, small weapons, or finesse weapons?
Yes, I'm proficient in...
Okay.
Weapons.
Then add that modifier to the damage.
Okay. And that would be my proficiency bonus.
Yeah. Add that to your D8.
I'm glad I could add something, because I got a 2, and my proficiency bonus is plus 2.
Okay, so you've done 4 damage. Okay. Okay, we're back round again. Okay. Alina, you're up.
Bit annoyed at missing the last turn, I unsheathed my halberd and
click into place. Hey, we are going, but for the benefit of the tape, as it were, when we created the character, the halberd that she chose is twice her height if she had a normal one. So her one actually is one that folds out. So it's a very advanced thing that the Watchers have created for her here. So that's quite good. Okay, so I have a bit of that. So you know what you're doing about one, do you? Okay, we are. Okay, so first of all, you're gonna. Okay, first of all, you're gonna try. Roll a d20, try a bit of 9.
Yeah, okay.
13.
Okay, you hit the hit. Now, so what is it? Say 1d10 slashing damage.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have proficiency in the halberd as well, don't you? I believe you do have proficiency. Yes. Yeah. So what you do is. Yeah, that's my approach. Yeah. So roll your d10 and add your proficiency modifier to the damage.
Oh god, yeah, okay. 1.
That's your proficiency.
1 plus 2.
That's 3 damage, okay.
Your halberd accidentally catches the ground, so your swing isn't quite as vicious.
Yeah, you need to explain what happens when you do make a hit. Okay, so the shrubs are now going to attack. Okay, so again, your armor class is. Oh, okay, armor class is. I should write that down, really, didn't I? 16.
Yeah.
Bow 16. I need to write that down for future if I forget it, otherwise. I'm terrible with numbers. There you go. Misses. Okay. Emil is still hiding because he's not a fighter. Love or not a fighter. So, back in again then, Rain, what are you going to do?
I swing my sword straight down at the closest one.
Okay, you're rolling to armor class of 9, so roll d20.
I rolled a 2.
So, and...
That's my modifier of 2.
So what happens? Like, what happens is you miss and you stumble and you pretty much almost drop your sword, but not quite. Okay.
I had a lot to drink yesterday, so I'm still quite hungover. I'm sorry.
We'll
hit in a minute.
Okay, Alila, you're back in.
All right, here we go. 1.
Right. It feels better that you do this one. Can you roll me a d4, please?
Okay. 2.
Number on top is one you want for d4.
Yeah, 2.
Okay, you take 2 points of damage. So you need to put where your HP is, you need to take 2 off of that. Because by trying to attack on that one, a crit fail, you inadvertently with your halberd impaled the ground and basically falls flat on your ass, but you wind yourself. So yeah. Okay, the shrubs are back in. The miss. And one is a hit, and it's going to make an attack on you, Rain. 1d4 minus 1. Wow. Does 1 point of damage to you, Rain. 1 point of damage. And you are now back in, Rain, so...
Are they animals, actually?
They are... They are shrubs. They are just bushes that are alive.
Can I cast Animal Friendship?
No, they're not animals.
Okay, then I attack with my sword again.
I want to give you inspiration for that, but I can't. Because for wanting to cast Animal Friendship on a bush. Actually, you know what? Screw it. Alex, you can have inspiration for that. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so what the thing? We're going to go with a short sword again. Roll d20, find a bit of 9.
11.
Okay, the hit, Alex.
Okay, so I roll my end.
Roll your damage. Which is 1d8, I believe, isn't it?
6.
Okay, and plus your proficiency?
Plus proficiency is 2.
Okay, that's 8 damage. Okay. Okay.
I mean, it should be dead now. I mean, it's a bush.
How does it die? What do you do to it to finish it off?
I grab its arm, I stick my sword through it, grab its twig arms, snap them, and stick them in the top of the bush.
Whoa, that would be gruesome if it wasn't a bush. Okay, one down. Alila, you're back in.
Okay.
Okay, so you are looking to be a 9.
14.
Yay.
It's right. Okay, now roll your damage.
You know, if we were fighting something...
Is that the D10 one?
That would be the one that... The slashing damage, yes.
Okay. That's...
9.
Yeah, 9.
Okay. I would say add the critical modifier, but... Suddenly to you, you have beaten it. How did it shuffle off this mortal blow?
I try my best to snap the knob with my tiny twig arms. But it doesn't really work out, so I just...
You pretty much get the power bear, do you? Fair enough. Then. Thank you, sir. And with that, we are out of combat.
I say, since he was hiding, to make us look a bit better, he didn't see the fight, so let's just say 16 more bushes turned up. That's why it took so long.
I'm gonna have to agree with you.
And
on
I
wasn't, one.
And I'm not. I will admit I'm very hungover, but let's just pretend I'm not.
Okay.
16 bushes it is.
Okay, at this point, Emil does emerge from his hiding spot from behind a log and say, "Oh, thank goodness for that! Thank you so much for protecting me. I'm not really a fighter. So thank you very much."
Yes, you owe us 2% more. I mean, we didn't expect to encounter 16 bushes, but obviously wear and tear causes for extra cash, I think.
16? There's not many bushes here.
Well, once I snapped the twigs off of the other and stuck it in its bushy head, the others got a bit scared and ran off.
That would be a charisma persuasion check, Alex. We'll call this a 15.
A 10 plus a 3.
3, okay.
No, sorry, 10 plus a 2.
He narrows his eyes at you and says, "Okay." And then you say, he knows what you're up to, but he's willing to go along with the story still. And he's like, "Shall we continue?"
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we better. At this point, he puts the harp back on his side and reaches back into his backpack instead and pulls out a different musical instrument. Clearly he's a bard who has more than one trick up his sleeve. At this point, Aline, can you roll me a D6, please?
5.
Yeah. Okay, it's a trumpet. So at this point he has pulled out a trumpet and is proceeding to actually do not too bad a song, actually. It's not like, you know, you see these things on like a Fantasia, on the mythical tale of Fantasia, where Mickey the Mouse is doing the whole thing, like, it's much more pleasant than that. He's actually doing quite a good job of it. It's not grating on your ears as much as you think it would. Of course, there is still a couple of hours ahead of you still, so who knows if I'm in the back. So as you go along, he does ask you, you're an elf, then, are you?
Well, I mean, given the big pointy ears sticking out my head, I would assume I'm an elf. Would you like to take another guess?
No, I'm just thinking more along the lines of, we don't see many back in the... We don't see many elves in this part of town, that's all. It's nice to see one. They're usually, you know, on the east side of the country, not usually here.
Would you like me to etch you a photo of us together? That wasn't an offer, by the way.
Oh, well, I was hoping to actually get one. Okay. He looks a little bit sad at that, actually, at that point. And then stops blowing his trumpet and just hooks it on the other side of his belt as he continues up the path with you guys in tow, pretty much. At this point, we will. Okay, nothing comes across your path this time, for the next couple of hours, which is good. At which point you do see what looks like a small building to the side of the path. Looks like it's abandoned for the most part. Did you want to take a rest here, or did you want to carry on, or look in? What do you want to do?
What do you want to do?
Can we have a rest about him playing the trumpets?
Okay.
Okay, we stay there for a little bit.
Okay, so the bard looks at the door and like nudges it and like, do we stay out here? Do we go in, or what do we want to do? End of the day, you guys are getting the money, so it's up to you where you want to go.
Let's stay out here just in case. We don't know what's in there.
Okay, we'll stay outside. Okay, not a problem. That's not happening. At which point the bard sits down and begins tuning the harp to make it sound more melodic, because he says that he didn't like the first song he was playing too much. Okay, so let's see how long you're going to wait for. Okay, cool. Okay, so you've got to wait for a couple of hours. So at this point, this would count as a small rest. So the hit points that you lost in combat, you can replace now to full health. The sun has gone past midday. So the bard looks happy to get up and carry on. But end of the day, you guys, you're ready to move on or not. So, are you?
The sooner we carry on, the sooner we can get rid of him, because he's starting to grate on
me. Onwards and forwards.
The bard says, certainly, my liege and my lady. And at this point, he seems to all be sucking up to you at this point now. So, which isn't a bad thing, because, you know, usually you're the one who gets picked on all the time. So you're quite happy that someone's not picking on you at this point. So as you make your way down the path a bit further, we'll say about 5 miles down the road you get, and you can see his hands are twitching, like they want to grab his instrument either side, and he looks over at Rains and almost looking for permission to play an instrument.
I shake my head.
He's like, okay, when he reaches into his backpack again, as if to pull out another instrument.
How big is his backpack?
It's enough to have one other instrument inside. Are you gonna stop him, or are you gonna let him carry on?
I let him carry on.
I say nothing.
He pulls out a little triangle and starts singing it. Starts singing it gently, just as he makes it, just as if to say, see, it's not all loud and shouting stuff, it's some quite nice pleasant stuff as well, forgetting he has the harp as well. So he's now pretty much got enough to start a small band, now arrayed around him. No weapons, just musical instruments, which is really not going to help if you end up finding something a bit stronger. So you go a bit further, at which point you can hear the trademark sound of a troop of kobolds. They aren't in view yet, but you can definitely hear them approaching.
Are there any hedges by the road?
There is a building just a bit further off, just to the side. There is a stream beyond that. The forest is there, but the trees are quite well packed together. You don't think you'd get in and hidden before they get there.
I throw my hooded coat back over to him.
He accepts
to put it back on to disguise himself.
He accepts it gratefully and says, thank you, sir. And then waits for your decision about moving forwards, or are you hiding as well? Or
let's stand by the side of the road having a conversation to make it look like we're not conspicuous.
Okay.
Is the bard going to be standing with you, or are you having him hide?
Yes, he's got his back to him from when they pass us.
Okay, that is going to be a... we're going to call that a... What kind of check should we call that? We're going to call that a... Wisdom survival check which is those wisdom. So it's tied to wisdom. You are looking to roll a d20, add your wisdom modify if you have one, and you're looking to beat a 20.
Oh, Christ. I'm on survival plus two.
Okay, so you're fine. What about you?
Survival. Yeah, zero.
Okay, so the kobold approach is four of them, the troop, and they walk past, and then they stop for a moment, glance back, and the one that's clearly the man in charge of the troop says to Lily, like, well, I know you. They're not the smartest creatures, but they know who they have and haven't seen. But clearly, because they're not smart, they clearly can't remember it quite. So, have I seen you before?
No, I suppose not. I remember a face like yours, I think.
We all look the same.
Exactly.
That's cutting. At which point, these number two said, come on, Sarge. Let's not worry about this Dragonborn. Clearly she's Dragonborn, but clearly she's only a baby. Look at her, she's little. She's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. So, look, someone just like sneers and then looks at Ray and say, like a knowing nod of appreciation sort of thing. Clearly you can see her feet, but no, he's behaving himself. Sort of things are like, And basically they turn the heel and they begin to leave. Which you can see Emil is visibly sweating bullets the cloak in front of you to say, oh my god, I nearly lost my life because a Dragonborn gave her attitude. The kobolds do thankfully leave. At which point,
I guess.
So, it's a good thing you didn't roll quite high because otherwise that would have been a combat round. I was very generous on that one. Probably need to dump that in a comment for that. Okay, so Emil's shaking like crazy. He's like, should I get out of here? Keith, come back?
Yep, onwards and forwards. So let's keep a little bit off of the road.
Okay. He heads back to the path with you two and basically standing between you as best he can. He heads the path with you both. Looking more suspicious and wary of everything around, like never. He's not even touching his instruments right now. He's terrified. So, although he was dull and boring before, now with no music around, he is even more dull and boring. So it's really, if his ears were pointy like yours are, Rain, he would be extremely pointy.
I sigh in relief and joy of not having to listen to him playing.
He looks a little bit miffed at that as well. At which point, I'm just seeing what's happening there. Okay. So you make it to the end of the path, which has taken you the better part of the day, despite fighting some shrubbery along the way, which was...
lots of shrubbery.
16 of them.
Exactly. So you stop at the end of the path, and you can see before you a walled citadel. Now,
I'm already regretting this decision, are you?
Oh no, a lot.
Now, the citadel itself is surrounded by a wall, and it has you can clearly see a few buildings inside the perimeter as well. So, the bard is like, I do know the way in round the back, but I'm pretty sure we'll have closed it because of where I escaped from.
Well, that's very helpful.
You could go through the room.
Yes, that's an option.
Okay, so...
You're the fellow thief, Mr. Bard. What would you like to do?
I'm no thief! This is the first thing I've ever stolen in my life!
You've only stolen a priceless artifact.
I guess that makes you a better thief than you, but doesn't it? He then immediately put the pan in his mouth, realizing he back chatted the person who is threatening him with knives.
I just nod to him and say, I'll let you off this once.
At which point he's like, right, so, you are a thief, can you find a better way in?
Can Rain find a way into the Citadel? Will Alili ever get tired of people making fun of her height? And is Emil really as bad a thief as he's made out? Find out next time on Dungeons & Junkies. This is a MetaTech production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.